Now, you said the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That brings us.
Paul said that.
Well, yeah, you were quoting Paul. That brings us to myth number two. Very, very popular even among Christians. That death is now a friend.
Isn't that amazing that we come up with this? Maybe it's because we don't quite have always the firmness of confidence that we should in Christ. And so we begin to think, well, there's got to be some bright side to this whole death thing. And there is, but it's only what he provides. Because, see, in Scripture, death is always an enemy, an intruder, an interrupter. The Bible calls it bitter, terrifying, stinging, powerful. Death is always separating something that God originally brought together. In spiritual death, the person is alienated from God, his creator. In physical death, the separation is between the body and the soul that God made. In eternal death, it's the eternal separation of the sinner, soul and body, from God. Psalm 90 is a psalm about death. You were, I think, citing it a moment ago. And that psalm says, when you, God, pour out your anger, all our days vanish, and we finish our years like a sigh. Even Christians have to endure the consequence of sin, which is physical death. And none of that is good. It's all a product of this vast corruption that has entered the world in the form of sin.
How did death enter the world?
Well, knowing the fact that, you know, the soul that sins, it shall die, or the wages of sin is death, or the passage I cited earlier from Genesis. You know, God said to Adam, already in his perfect state, right after creation, the day you eat the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. That helps us to get a better perspective on this. See, in the Garden of Eden, in his holy state, before the fall into sin, Adam could think about death, contemplate it, but it was only a theoretical prospect. After the fall, Adam and Eve both knew that they were naked, and they ran and they hid from God. Already they were being alienated from him. Already they were feeling the guilt of their sin. And God comes along and tells them that part of the consequence now is that they're going to undergo pain and suffering. Adam, as he works and toils at his daily labors. Eve, the pain is specifically mentioned in connection with childbirth. A couple of chapters later, you get to the genealogy, the first one in the Bible in Genesis 5, and it talks about how these people lived enormously long lives by our standards, 800-900 years. But it always ends the same way. Every paragraph on every one of those patriarchs always ends up saying, and he died. Even if he had a great long life by our standards, the fact is, this death was not part of what God had intended. And so it's so terribly tragic that the story ends again and again, except in the case of Enoch, who, of course, is taken into heaven alive. But all the rest, it says, and he died, and he died. Now, I might add that at the end of a long illness, death can come to a Christian as a relief. It can strike us who survive, someone who's been in a long battle, say, with cancer or something of that nature, as a relief. It's never a relief for the unbeliever, because it only goes from bad to worse as the unbeliever goes from a life here and now without God to an eternity without him in hell. But the fact that the Christian can look upon death at the end of a long illness as a relief is not saying that death itself is a friend. It's saying that God can take something bad and turn it good. That's why the Bible can say, precious to the Lord is the death of those he loves. In death, God brings about a great miracle. He separates the real me, the me who's reborn in the word and faith, the new me created in holy baptism, the new creation in Christ. He separates that, which is going to live on forever, from the sinful me. And that's the good thing that God does in death, but he does that.
So how do Christians face death differently? You mentioned the unbeliever at the end of a long illness, even death cannot bring relief. In reality, they might think it's a relief, but it can't bring real relief. How do Christians face death differently than unbelievers?
Well, we can look forward to what's going to happen when we do die. In all physical death, whether you're talking about believers or unbelievers, the dust returns to the ground, as the Bible says, and the spirit goes to God who gave it. When my spirit, as one with faith in Christ, goes to God, I'm going to be with my Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of promise that Jesus gave to the thief on the cross when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's the kind of promise in which Stephen was confiding when he died, and he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." It's the kind of thing that Paul was talking about in Philippians 1, where he says that, he's kind of torn. In some ways, he'd like to depart and be with Christ. And that's far better than staying on in this sinful world, but it's better for their sake that he remains and continues to help them. So the abundance of witness in Scripture is overwhelming. We can look forward to being with Christ from the moment of death.
Now, it strikes me that apart from this, our ultimate problem, that we are mortal by our own hand because of our own sin, apart from this, if Christianity doesn't have an answer, a permanent solution to that, it's not much good, is it?
Well, I had a professor in seminary, and I know you talk to him a lot on this program, Dr. John Seleska, who said that if in pastoral counseling you don't address the problem of death, then all your work is going to be superficial. It'll be like putting Band-Aids on cancer, because it really amounts to only giving people a temporary relief or respite when they've got the sword of Damocles hanging over their head, figuratively speaking. See, death reaches into our lives right now. The older I get, the more I understand this experientially. You know, 20 years ago, when I was 25 years old, I had this kind of idea that most people have at that age. Oh, death, that's way off in the future, and it's nothing really for me to concern myself with, and it's virtually like I don't have to worry about it at all. And even at 35, I could kind of entertain the same sort of thought. At age 45, that's getting harder and harder to do. And I feel the chill of the idea that I am going to die. And that's why this passage in Hebrews 2 is so precious. It says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Christ, likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage." In other words, delivering me from the bondage that I already feel. Even if my death is going to lie 30 years in the future, I can have hope right now for the future and therefore joy for today. And it's all on account of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 15 ends up, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He answered for our sin before the law. He took away the law's power to accuse and condemn us, and therefore sin's power to kill us and keep us dead.